Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles today, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be studying verse 21 through 48. But this passage, I believe, is in sections, so we're only going to take a look at the first two verses initially. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and 22. "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." Heavenly Father, once again we come into your presence, praising your name, thanking you for the wonderful gift that you gave. We're so glad for salvation. We're so glad for a changed life that we can have and that we're preaching on today. Whatever needs the people listening have, don't care what it is, I know that God is able. I know there's nothing too difficult for the Lord, it says in the Old Testament, and I believe it. If it's financial, if it's domestic, if it's drugs, if it's, I don't know, sickness, what have you, I believe that Jesus Christ is able to help in any and all situations. And Lord, I'm asking that you help those listening and those that have whatever need. Please help them in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time we said that the Pharisees tried to do everything that they could to keep the law, the Ten Commandments, the Levitical laws, every jot and tittle. They tried to keep everything outwardly. They had a religion. And if you did things right, according to what the leaders said, then you were in good stead. Everything was great. But if you said, no, I don't want to do what men said. I want to go to the text myself and understand it. You were branded a rebel, heretic, whatever, and they threw you out of the synagogue. And I want to say that religion, that's what religion does. Remember, religion, the religious leaders of Israel, they crucified the Lord of glory. And honestly, that's where religion ends up. And you say, you know, preacher, you're a preacher, you're a Christian, you're a religious person. Well, maybe from your perspective, but not from mine, and not from the Word of God's. Because you see, it's not outward religion, outward keeping of laws and what have you that God's concerned about, but an inward keeping, an inward following, an inward obedience, an inward chastening. We self-limit. We try to do right in our hearts. And who cares about the outward part? Who cares about outward obedience and looking good on the outside? It's the heart. The Bible says God looks upon the heart. Man looks on the outward part, but God looks upon the heart. And he judges the heart. And that's what we're going to study today. Now, this is perhaps strange language that Jesus uses. Everybody understands the Ten Commandments, especially the Jews. They could quote you, well, that's in Exodus. Today we understand we have chapter divisions, would have you, that's Exodus chapter 20. But they could quote it to you, every Jew, every one, they could tell you the Ten Commandments. But he says, you have heard it was said by them of old time. Well, he's talking about Moses. He's obviously talking about the tablets of stone that God with his own finger wrote the Ten Commandments on. But he says, them of old time. One of the commandments was, thou shalt not kill. You've heard that was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill. But in verse 22 it says, but I say unto you, again Jesus is speaking, God come in the flesh. God left his throne and bowed the heavens and came down. Quoting Psalm 22. Jesus, God come in the flesh, said, I know what Moses said. And Moses is right. Thou shalt not kill. It's not right to kill. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. At one point, I believe Paul said, be ye angry and sin not, neither let the sun go down on your wrath. You can be angry, but not have sinned. Anger in itself is not a sin, but Jesus is saying being angry with someone without a cause. You know, it's one thing, thou shalt not kill, and it's another thing for the person angry to not actually go kill the person, not actually hit him or whatever, but in his heart have murder. And maybe he'll cuss a little bit and say, I'll kill you or whatever, not actually go do it. But the heart, we understand that it's the heart that gets us into trouble. It's the heart that God is concerned about. Who cares about keeping a bunch of religious rules, sitting up straight in church and not spitting on the sidewalk? Yeah, who cares? God looks upon the heart. And again, in relationship to the Pharisees, trying to be perfect on the outside, the last verse in this chapter says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. He wants an inward righteousness, not an outward keeping of laws, but an inward change of heart, softening of heart, forgiveness against the person that's wronged you, and we'll get to that in a second. I hope that you understand what this is about. Being a Christian isn't about, like I said, trying to clean yourself up on the outside, but it's about letting God clean you up on the inside. Instead of being angry, instead of cussing and what have you, he wants you to be kind and forgiving and what have you. But related to that, verse 23 and 24, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. And obviously he's talking about the brazen altar. If you had some sin in your life or whatever, you wanted to get right with God, you would take a lamb or a ram or some prescribed animal. You would go to the temple in Jerusalem, speak to the Levite, make your way to the priest, what have you, and you would offer, you would sacrifice that animal. And God would see the sacrifice, and your sins would be covered. But we understand that's the old covenant, the old economy. We understand that In the New Testament, Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. But what he's saying here is that you try to do something right. You try to get right with God. You want to go to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry, what have you, for, you know, saying something to that guy or whatever. Well, he says, that's good. You can pray, you can repent, what have you. But you also need to go to that person that you spoke wrong to or punched out or whatever the case, or stole from or whatever, and say, look, I'm wrong. I was wrong. I apologize. And will you please forgive me, what have you. And then you can come back and pray and repent. But at verse 25 and 26, it says, agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say, or truly I say unto you, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. And he's probably referring to the debtor's prison, what have you, which we don't have today. We have bankruptcy and other things, and what have you, but that's probably what he was talking about. In other words, if you have some squabble with a person, especially if he's got the upper hand, let's be smart. Let's go to him and, you know, make amends or offer to pay, you know, whatever the case. Get things right before it becomes a legal matter. And later on, we'll come back to that idea of making things right with your adversary. Verse 27 through 30, it says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. And that certainly is one of the Ten Commandments. But Jesus says, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And we understand that perfectly true. You understand the context. A guy looks at a girl and says, man, in his heart, he wishes he could do that. And that's, in God's point of view, in God's eyes, it's the same as doing it. Again, not an outward, well, I shouldn't go cheat on my wife, so I'm not going to go do it, but man, it sure looks nice, and sure wish I could, and etc. It's the heart. It's the heart. But then, it says, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. I remember I first heard anything about the gospel when I was 14. And finally, when I was 21, I surrendered to God. And I've told my testimony before of that day. And it was a wonderful day for me. I'm so glad that I found the Lord, or rather, he found me. But every once in a while, again, for 7 years, I ran from God, said, no, I don't want. I would come under conviction. And I knew I had to get right. I knew I ought to be a Christian, what have you. I'd get under conviction, and sometimes I would find a Bible. Where do you start reading the Bible? Matthew. Everybody knows that, I suppose. And I'd start to read, and, you know, that was good, and that was good, and I'd get to this verse. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee. And I would slam the Bible closed and say, no way. I don't know what God's about, but I don't want anything to do with him, what have you. It's crazy. And once or twice that happened, I'd, you know, start to read. You know, years would pass, and I'd forget, and I'd start to read, and I'd get to this and throw the book across the room. Don't want nothing to do with that. But when I got saved, when I finally surrendered to the Lord, I didn't know. You know, I got saved, gave my life to God and surrendered to him, said, I'll do whatever you want. I'll preach if you want me to. And I happened to have a Bible. Don't know why I had one. Happened to have a Bible, started reading, and was having a good time until I got here. And a cold hand gripped my heart. Oh, no. Oh, no. I don't understand those verses. But instead of saying, no, I don't want to have anything to do with God, I did something that is biblical. I did something that has served me all of my Christian life. Didn't understand it. Didn't know what it meant. But I said, Lord, I trust you. Don't understand it, but I trust you. And the Spirit of God moved on my heart. And I knew that that was the right answer, to trust God. I didn't understand about this. I thought it was literal. Thought it was literal. But I trusted God, and, you know, I still didn't understand. It took years, a long time to figure out. But what he's saying here, this thing is serious. Living for God or not living for God, as the case may be, is serious. It's appointed unto man once to die, the verse goes, but then comes the judgment. We'll all stand before God one day. And, you know, we may live 60, 70, 80 years old, who knows? All this time, in God's eyes, it's just half of a blink of his eye, I guess, and there went your 70, 80 years. You know, what's time to God? But we think we have all this time, but honestly, one day we're going to stand before God. And what he's saying here is that if there's something in your life that you know is wrong, that is a besetting sin, perhaps, the apostle talked about, something that could destroy you, you need to get rid of it. You need to get that sin out of your life. You know, if hanging around with those guys, you end up with a joint in your hand, maybe you ought to not hang out with those guys, because they'll drag you down and you won't be a Christian no more. You'll just do that instead of going to church and what have you. If your right hand offend thee, cut it off. He's saying, cut that thing out of your life, that sin. Because if you don't, maybe, and I'm not your judge, I don't know your heart, what have you, but maybe, if you hang on to that thing, that sin, whatever, maybe your whole body will be cast into hell. Oh, I wanted to be a Christian, but you never let it go. You understand what I'm saying? But verse 31 and 32, he takes the word adultery and uses it in a different context. This one about lusting after a woman is obviously sex. But in verse 31 32, it's not about sex. It mentions it, but it's not about that. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, which is sex outside of marriage or what have you, cheating on your spouse. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. How is it that a woman, she's married, she's loving her husband, whatever, and for some reason he says, look, go and get out, I want somebody else. It sounds to me like he's the one that's committing adultery, deciding to choose someone else and what have you. But it says, and the Lord says, that he causes her to commit adultery. And for a long time I didn't understand that. The Bible says that what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. We understand that marriage today is a civil ceremony. It's a legal thing. You can go back and have another legal ceremony and get unmarried. I understand that. But in God's eyes, marriage was intended to be forever. Now, the context is back then, for some reason they thought they could just have the liberty to, look, I'm tired of you, I want somebody else. And it was a common thing back then. You know, it's a common thing now to, you know, just hop in one marriage and hop out the other. But what he's saying here is that, again, a marriage is supposed to be forever. You make a commitment, not only to sign a piece of paper, but you make a vow and a solemn promise to be faithful to that person till death do us part. But if the woman finds herself out of a marriage because the man was tired of her, and I'm sure you can swap it around, you understand that a woman could get tired of her husband and throw him out. But the one that finds themselves out of a marriage, they wanted to stay in, but they're out of it now. In their heart, they still want to honor that commitment. They still want to be faithful to the wedding vows. But because they find themselves divorced, they can't be faithful to the wedding vows because the marriage is dissolved or divorced or what have you. And in this context, the word adultery does not mean sex. It means that she's shut out of being able to be faithful to that relationship and that vow that she made. And for a long time, I thought it meant that she was involved in sexual immorality, and she wasn't. She was just out of a marriage that she wanted to be faithful to. But then it says, the last clause of this, but whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. And again, that's not a sexual thing. You understand, if a man marries a woman that's been married before, of course they're going to have sex. That's natural. But that's not what he's saying. She promised to be with the first guy forever and found herself out and can't be with him anymore. And along comes the second guy, and that's fine. But he's really in the place that was rightfully the first husband's place. And in that context, and God by all means helped that second marriage, but in his eyes, he's in the place where the first man should have stayed. Well, I thought I could finish the chapter, but I've pretty much run out of time.
Because you alone are
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.